And it's that time on a Tuesday when we find out what and how Aussies were eating in the past. Now, Jackie Newling, she's a historical gastronomer. She specializes in Aussie food techniques and styles. And look, you know, we're going to be talking about the 50s and 60s today. If you have any recollection of that from parents or your own experiences, jump on Twitter. Tell us about your memories of the food. Tweet us up at @2SER and @ColonialFoodie. Jackie, good morning.
Hi, Nick. How are you going?
I'm really well, thank you. Now, got to confess, you know, a couple of times we've spoken, I've been a little bit across the time period, but 50s and 60s, I do not know the food of the era.
Well, I think we talked last week, about you know, that sort of post-war period where we started to look away from England. You know, England was sort of part of our imperial past, and we'd been through all this sort of, you know, horror of the early 20th century, and we, you know, America stepped in and sort of saved the day, to put it very simplistically. And so you start having all these new technologies as a result of the war, but also this new sort of global outlook that that Australia was experiencing. Up until then, it was really very much tied to sort of, you know, the mother country and the apron strings. So by the 60s, that's really sort of taking shape. But technology is what's really become significant as far as what we put on our tables. So, you know, yes, we had gas and electricity. They were sort of now sort of pretty standard and the norm. But the big, big changes were television.
Mm.
So that really gave us that sort of outside look at the world in our lounge rooms. Or those, you know, who had televisions, they were still sort of creeping in. But also the family car. The family
really?
Car and then the supermarket. So, you know, we're into this sort of baby boomer period now where things are a bit brighter, people have got a little bit more money, and those sort of mod cons are becoming standard.
I hadn't thought of the role of easy transportation on food stuff, but of course it would have changed quite a lot.
Well, it changed how we shopped. So once upon a time, you know, you'd trundle up the street with your little nana trolley or or catch the bus or whatever. And some people did have cars, but now they were becoming far more prevalent after the war. There was no more petrol rationing and all that sort of thing. But then the supermarket started changing the way we shopped. So once upon a time, you would go just up to the little local shop. You would buy the basic ingredients. You know, butcher, baker, candlestick maker kind of stuff. Now you had this idea of one-stop shopping, and the supermarkets were also full of new brands. So, you know, advertising and branding and all that side of thing was coming in. And a lot of packet solutions. I hate to say, I have living memory of the 1960s. I was born in the 60s. And my mother did everything out of a packet. You know, packet scones, packet pastry mix, packet gravy mix, this stuff called rice arisso, which was basically a sort of, you know, a little bit like we might now have a taco kit.
Right.
They had had a rice kit, so you could have, you know, Indian rice or Asian rice or all these different flavours. And dinner winner, which was sort of this magic sprinkle you put in your mints, your savoury mints on toast.
And that's amazing, because we hadn't really seen that kind of freeze-dried packet tech until now, had we?
That's right. And it was a result of the technology that was used, you know, developed during the war. And, you know, now it was sort of having a sort of more public application. And we started to think more exotically. Magazines are starting to put things like Mexican dishes and Mexican features or, you know, how to host a Chinese banquet and how to eat Italian spaghetti. So, I think most people were still very meat and three veg, but they were sort of jazzing it up to try and make it a little bit more international and a little bit more modern.
So not just spice profiles too, but actually different styles of cooking, I guess, were coming in.
And different styles of eating. You know, there were instructions on how to use the spaghetti, you know, to put your fork in and twirl it around the spoon and not get it all over you. Because up until, you know, really up until then, the Australian's idea of spaghetti was a tin spaghetti, you know, your pink gloop.
The classic.
You put on toast.
And was it?
And also, sorry.
No, after you.
So the idea of also, you know, people now had fridges and freezers. So a lot of those dishes that, you know, once upon a time you would only last a few days, even with an ice chest, now you could freeze things. So you had literally had things, you know, on hand whenever you wanted it, and you could defrost it whenever you wanted it. So you could go to the shops once a week, once every 2 weeks, load up the car, come home, fill your freezer. And that really changed that sort of idea of that every 2 or 3 days having to go and get provisions. So it changed the woman's role in the house as well.
It would have changed also the kind of the small business model, I guess, was on the way out for some of those markets by that point.
It really was. And the other thing it really significantly changed was the local brand. So, you know, most towns and states had their own soft drink brands and perhaps local cake manufacturers and biscuit manufacturers. There were lots of small ones. What the advent of the big supermarkets did was squeeze those small guys out because, you know, it was competitive to get your stuff on their shelves. And also television advertising did the same thing. So it really ended up only being the big players, and the magazines were now starting to be produced in colour. Everything was getting more expensive to market these things. And so you start finding that, you know, these days it's almost predatory. We really have so few brands left. I won't mention names, but you've got these, you know, big multinational companies now consuming the smaller brands of chocolate bars or biscuit brands and things like that. And we're actually sort of narrowing our field. And then that really started to happen in that 60s.
Yeah, look, even when I was a kid in the 70s, I still remember down on the Victorian border, it was Shelley's versus Marchant's were the two soft drink brands.
Yes, exactly. And yeah. I grew up in Adelaide and it was Woodruff. You know, my mum always drank that. And Tarax.
Tarax. I'd forgotten about Tarax. Wow.
And so all those sort of smaller brands started being absorbed or just squeezed out. So you really started to noticing it. You know, all those marketing impacts have an impact on our, you know, on our business models, our economy.
Wow, Jackie, amazing stuff. Thank you so much for talking to Breakfast again. Now, your book is called Eat Your History, isn't it?
It is, yes.
It is. And where can people grab it from?
Good bookstores, put a bit of pressure on them, or from our from City Living Museum's shops as well.
Thanks so much, Jackie. We'll talk next week.
Okay, Nick. Bye.
Yeah, Jackie Newling, Colonial Foodie on Twitter. Absolute, you know, gastronaut in her own way, historical, and her book, Eat Your History, is amazing. Grab a copy of it if you get a chance.